Turn with me, please, in your Bibles to the book of 1 John. God, in his providence, is giving us a word from this book again. I'm not prepared, I have to confess that right away, but I spoke on these verses several weeks ago in our church, and so we're going to look again at 1 John, this time chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. Verse 5 through 2, verse 2. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. We say in our church each Sunday the Apostles' Creed together. I don't know if you do it in your churches, but every Sunday we say the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. We know this creed, don't we? You probably know it in your own languages. And in that creed, there's a phrase. I believe in the Holy Universal Church, the fellowship or communion of the saints, the forgiveness of sins. The forgiveness of sins. Do you believe in the forgiveness of sins? We say that phrase often in our churches, and we want to focus on that phrase today. Do we believe, do each one of us believe the forgiveness of sins? Now, forgiveness is more than just a concept, isn't it? It's more than just a word. Just a few weeks ago, July 31, I don't know if you're into these things, but there's a Nelson Mandela annual lecture. There's a very influential lecture every year in Johannesburg. And this year, there's a human rights activist, Ariel Dorfman, from South America. He spoke at this lecture. Now, he's not a Christian. In fact, he's quite un-Christian, quite opposite of Christian. But he said that in South Africa, in order for the past to be put behind us, and in order for everyone to come together in South Africa, he said we need to have forgiveness. That's what the talk was all about Saturday night. But he said words are not enough. Words are not enough for this forgiveness to take place. Saying sorry is not enough, right? There has to be more than just a sorry. There has to be deeper, and he said there has to be emotions. There has to be tears. What he is touching on, I think, is very important and true, I believe. Even though he's not a Christian, I believe what he's saying is true. But I think it goes so much deeper than that, than just emotions, even, in saying sorry. And I want to look with you this time from the first book of John, chapter 1, verse 9. I want to look with you at what we mean when we say we believe in the forgiveness of sins. Let me just read that verse with you again. Chapter 1, verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful, he, that is Christ Jesus and God the Father, the triune God, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Four words are going to structure our study of this verse, this sermon, four simple words: confession, forgiveness, cleansing, and fellowship. John uses key words. You find him very simple language, but very key words he's using through this book and also in the Gospels. And these words have a lot of content. And so I'm going to use these four words to structure the study of this verse as we go through it together. If we confess our sins, what is confession? Or maybe I should back up. We are all theological students or Bible school students. We know, and yet maybe it's good to remind ourselves. Now, let's not even start with that word confession. Let's start with this question. What is sin? What is sin? If we confess our sins, sin, we can give a definition, not only wrongs against other people. And this speaker at the Nelson Mandela lecture was talking about sin in the context of wrongs against others, right? One ethnic group against another ethnic group, one politician against another politician, one neighbor against another neighbor. That's sin. But it's so much deeper than that, isn't it? Because sin is wrongs against God. That's the definition the Bible always gives us. Lawlessness in reaction to God, in relation to God as lawgiver. Turn with me to chapter 3. Chapter 3, verse 4. Everyone who makes a practice of sinning also practices lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. And sin is rebellion against God. Sin isn't just doing something, you know, in opposition to the authorities or to the lecturers or whoever it is, you know, that God has placed an authority over us. Sin is rebellion against God. He is the king. He is the creator. He is the potter who has made this piece of clay. Rebellion against God. Missing the mark. Another definition of sin. Not used so much in this chapter, but elsewhere in Scripture. Or sin is uncleanness. Not shame in the eyes of the world, but guilt in the eyes of God. Guiltiness. Unrighteousness in relation to God, the righteous one. That's sin. Rebellion, lawlessness, uncleanness, guilt. Are you a sinner? Are you a sinner? Now you say to me, now careful, that's getting sensitive. That's about me, and you're pointing a finger at it. Are you a sinner? Sinner, are you sinning or are you sinful? Because you see, sin is not just what we do, it's the state we're in. Our state of unrighteousness, our state of guiltiness before God. Are you sinful and sinning? Now you might say, but wait a minute. Of course I've had wrongs. You know, I haven't always treated my brother the way I should, and yes, I've sinned against God. But you know, that's behind me now. I've confessed it. But what about sins of omission? The things we fail to do. You know, omission, to omit. Not just sins we commit, things we do wrong, but sin, you know, like saying an unkind word, an unfair word to our brother or sister, but things we omit to do. Not loving our brother like Christ loved him. Not living in obedience to authority as Christ lived at all times. Not obeying God's will at all times. I mean, the load, it gets heavier, doesn't it? But what about those respectable sins? Respectable sins. There's a book actually with that title. I forget who the author is. Jerry Bridges, I believe. Respectable sins. Discontent. Not happy with what God has given you. Greed. Wanting what other people have. Pride. That's us, right? Who can say, I don't have self-worth. I don't value myself higher than someone else. Pride. Jealousy. You know, when we start to really define it, these sins become, well, personal. And in fact, what does verse 8 say? If we say we have no sin, We deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we say we have no sin, we are busy deceiving ourselves. We're lying to ourselves, and the truth is not in us. So without looking into your eyes right now, I'm not pointing fingers at anyone, but point fingers at yourself right now. What sin is God talking to you right now about in your life? If you say you have no sin, you are lying to yourself. What sin is God talking about right now to you in your mind? I don't know, right? I have my own problems to deal with. But we all have sin. And maybe it's these respectable sins, pride. Disgusting, really, in God's sight, isn't it? He thinks he is better than others, and I created them all equal. Greed. I want what she has. The guy with the bins, the Mercedes bins, he drives past us and he cuts us off. And we say, evil one. He probably stole it. Right? But what is the problem? What is the problem? If we say we have no sin, we're lying to ourselves and the truth is not in us. Now, there may be some sin in your life. I have no idea. But maybe there's some big issue right now you're wrestling with. A temptation, an attitude, a state of mind, a character trait. You know, we say, I'm weak in that area. No, that's sin, whatever it is. I don't know. You put your finger on it. Are you a sinner before God? And if so, then this verse is for you. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. But if we confess our sins, this verse is for us, isn't it? This verse is for all of us, every one of us here. We start with confession to God. If we confess our sins, he is faithful. What is confession? It's not just saying sorry, right? Sorry is not enough. God demands perfection. Stating words, but also hating our sinfulness. Do you hate your sinfulness? Do you hate your pride? Do you hate your greed or whatever the sin is in your life? Do you hate it? Do you hate your discontent? Do you hate your hatred to others? You see, hating sin. But it's not just saying that we are sinners. I mean, we can stand here, even, you know, in the prayer groups, every Tuesday and Thursday, we have this confession time, don't we? And we all kind of look at each other a little bit sheepishly, and we say, we'll just make a general confession. God doesn't want general confessions. I mean, maybe in that setting, okay, I understand, because we're ashamed of our sin. But God is not looking for general, you know, blanket, say, I'm a sinner, you know, cover me, God. Specific confession. Not just knowing, but turning from it. What is that addiction in your life that's holding you down? Confessing to God. Not covering it up, but admitting it. Not hiding it, right? That's what we do to other people. But opening up. Now, just right there. Right there. If I have said something wrong, let's say, to a sister or a brother, and I know it was wrong, and I get home and my wife says, you said the wrong thing, and I have to go apologize, right? I'm afraid, though. Why am I afraid? Because, first of all, it's shameful to open up, isn't it? You're exposing yourself. And what if that sister or what if that brother turns against me and says, you're a sinner? Why did you do that to me? Now you admit it, too. Now I know you're guilty. I knew it before. Now I know it for sure. You know, in order to go to someone, we almost have to trust them, don't we? We have to trust that they're going to at least forgive us. And see, opening up requires trust. Trust in God. And this is now we're getting to the essence of it. Confession of sin starts with faith in God. Because you see, Adam and Eve, when they sinned, what did they do? They ran. They hid themselves. They didn't believe that God forgives. So if we want to understand forgiveness, God's forgiveness of sins, it starts with faith in God, trusting him. And not just trusting him a little, but trusting him 100%. How are you confessing your sins to God? Sometimes we say, well, I'm busy, God, trying to clean up this mess. I'm working on it. But that's not where confession starts. Confession starts by saying, God, I'm guilty, I'm a sinner, and you need to work on me. You need to work on me. Not us working, but he doing the work first. I think that's where it starts. By this faith, I've said it before when I'm teaching, go to God with dirty hands. I used to think about that often. After you sin, you know how a child sometimes, right? I was a bit of a naughty cat boy when I was growing up, and my father had to sometimes discipline me. But you know how it was? When I did something wrong, and I knew I was wrong, and he was coming home from his work, you know, in an hour or two, when he came home, where was I? I was nowhere to be found, right? I was hoping, you know, maybe time heals the wounds, and, you know, maybe I'll just, you know, and I something was wrong between us because my sin. But God is not like an angry father. And that brings us to what is forgiveness. God is not like an angry father. He forgives. And believing, trusting in this God who forgives, gives us the courage and the ability to confess. They say sometimes, what comes first, repentance or faith? Well, it comes together, doesn't it? God gives us faith to trust in him, and then we have the courage to truly repent before him and humble ourselves in his presence. So are you confessing your sin with faith? You know, perhaps you're saying, oh, I'm glad he's preaching on this one. She needs to hear it. Or he over there, that one, No. You. What about you? What about me? Are we confessing our sins? If we confess our sins, also those who are no believers, God is speaking this to them. God is speaking to everyone here, isn't it? Everyone. If you're a sinner, God forgives. What is forgiveness? What is forgiveness? The Greek word means something, the idea of leaving behind or canceling a debt. There's actually several nuances in the Greek. Forgiveness. Let me just make a few statements about forgiveness as it's presented to us in Scripture. There's much that could be said here. Forgiveness, I think, first statement. Forgiveness happens after confession. You see how the text goes. If we confess our sins, verse 9, then he is faithful and just to forgive. It's not because of our confession. Our confession is not this good work that obligates God to forgive us. The confession is just expressing faith that he will forgive us. But it happens when we've confessed, doesn't it? When we are confessing, God forgives. And then the second truth I want to state, forgiveness results from the character of God. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. He is faithful. Faithful to a promise. God has promised, I will forgive. And God is faithful. Every single time. You know, we were just talking in class. It's not fair that God chose some and damned others. Right? I mean, that's a hard doctrine, isn't it? Very hard doctrine. But God is always faithful to everyone who comes to him in confession. Always, all the time, God is faithful to forgive. Anyone, everyone, regardless of who they are, if they confess, God will forgive. He is faithful. But he's also just. And that points us to where? It points us to Christ, doesn't it? How can God be fair? You know, the question is always, God is not fair to damn those people and save others. But really, the other way around, isn't it? Is God fair to save anyone if he said he is a just judge who punishes sin? But God is just in his forgiveness because of Christ's work. Christ, the one in whom we have forgiveness. The blood of Christ, verse 7, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Forgiveness means to put away the sin. And through Christ, he puts away our sin, doesn't he? It says later, Christ is our propitiation for sin. That means covering. That's what that word is meaning there. It's actually much more than that. Christ is our advocate. Not only does his blood cover our sin, but he also represents us before the judge and says, this one, I have taken the sin of that one. All those sins that we were just thinking in our minds, Christ offers freely to take them away, even now. Take away the guilt and the stain and the punishment of them. Christ takes them away, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And so God is just in Christ to forgive sin. And this forgiveness takes the sin away. It doesn't take it away entirely. It takes it away from us. But it puts it on Christ, doesn't it? Our sin on Christ. He pays for our sin. So we can say, blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord counts no iniquity, in whose spirit there is no deceit. Many Christians struggle with the past. They remember the mistakes they made before. And maybe you do too. You think back and you say, and you kick yourself. If only I hadn't said that. If only I hadn't gone there. If only I hadn't done that. And we whip ourselves, don't we? Like Martin Luther. I'm going to beat that sin out of me. And we whip ourselves in our minds. We hate ourselves even for what we do. Maybe it's not the long past. Maybe it's the nearby past. A few days ago, you fell into that favorite sin again. Again, you fall into it, and your hands are all dirty from it. And you say, why? I hate myself for it. If we stay with ourselves, if we stop right there, we don't believe in the forgiveness of sins, do we? Or at least we're not acting as if we do. Because Jesus takes those sins away. He takes away the guilt. He takes away the shame even. Not right away sometimes. He takes away those sins. His blood covers them. I believe in God's forgiveness. It frees us, doesn't it? It gives us liberty, but we're going to come there. So forgiveness is, it happens after confession. It's because of God's character, his promise, and his fulfillment of promise in Christ Jesus, the one who puts away our sins. Forgiveness is necessary for everyone. He who believes in the Son of God has eternal life. But he who disobeys, he who does not obey the Son, the wrath of God abides on him. Whose fault is it? Jesus says, I'll forgive you. I'll forgive you freely. I'll take it all away. Even that guilt of the conscience that's bothering you. Forgiveness is necessary for everyone. Do you believe in the forgiveness of sins? When we sin, because we do have sin, and we quickly hide it, we quickly cover it, we quickly make excuses, we are showing to ourselves at least that we do not believe this truth. But if we sin, and immediately we go to God and say, God, I'm a sinner. Save me from this mess I've made. We are showing by our actions, by our words, that we believe in the forgiveness of sins. So what is God calling us to do? That favorite sin, right now in our hearts, in our minds, confess it. Confess it to God. Say, God, I'm a sinner. I'm guilty. I don't want to hide this from you anymore. I don't want to pretend as if something's not wrong in this area of my life. I confess it. Other people, maybe they've wronged me. Maybe it's their fault too. And maybe I'm only partly, but I know I'm a sinner. I confess it. And God is faithful and just to forgive us in Christ Jesus. And to take away even the guilt of it, the feeling of guilt. In fact, that's what it says in the last part of the verse. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. It's glorious truth. It's wonderful. But it doesn't stop there, does it? It goes on. What does it say? And to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God doesn't do a half work, does he? He takes away that guilt. He forgives us. He covers it with his blood. He doesn't see it anymore. He forgets it. God, who knows all things, forgets my sin in Christ. But he doesn't stop there. He's busy cleaning now. He's busy cleaning. He cleanses us. I do need those. He's busy cleaning us. Busy cleaning us from all our sins, right? Maybe you've been addicted to a certain sin for a long time. For a long time. It's a habit that you can't break anymore. And maybe right now, even just a minute ago, you confessed it in your mind to God, "Oh, God, I hate that sin. Take it away." Do you think it's going to stop? Not if it's up to us. Right? We'll be busy with it again tonight or tomorrow or whenever it comes. But God, he doesn't do a half work. He's also faithful and just to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, to carry on this process of sanctification. We know the terms, right? Not just justification, taking away the guilt, being at peace with God in his sight. Sanctification continues. He cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Some of the theologians actually debate. Calvin said that verse 7 is about cleansing the first time, the blood of Jesus, and then verse 9 is about sanctification. We can debate this, but the truth remains. God is doing the cleansing, isn't he? He's doing the cleaning in our lives. He's cleaning us. He's cleaning us from the sin the first time, taking away that guilty conscience. He's continuing to clean us when we fall into it again, renewing us, reforming us, molding and shaping us into the image of his Son. Have you been cleansed from your sin? God doesn't do a half work. Are you hindering the second half? The Spirit is doing the cleaning. The triune God working through the Spirit, particularly the Holy Spirit, the one who makes us holy, he's doing the cleaning. Here's a question, though. Will God keep cleaning when I keep sinning? Yes, he does. God is faithful and just. My sin doesn't change his character. But is the cleaning hindered when we stop confessing? Yes, it is. You see, when we stop confessing, when we start to excuse them in our minds or pretend they're not there or overlook it or find a way just to kind of get around it, God's going to say, no, wait, there's something here that needs to be confessed. I can smell it, right? Or however you want to picture it. It needs cleaning. You have to confess. And so, yes, God does keep cleaning when I keep sinning, if I keep confessing. But if we're hiding sin in our hearts, God will not bless us. The Proverbs say the same. The blood of Jesus Christ is able to cleanse from all sin. But the Holy Spirit doesn't usually apply the blood when there is no confession. Sometimes he still works against our will, even in this process. But unconfessed sins are like deep stains in a clothing. Deep stains that have been there for a long time. And sometimes it takes years. Sometimes they're not cleaned until we're dead. Sometimes it's going to take resurrection before we're totally cleaned. Are you being cleaned daily? Daily do you go to God for cleansing? Daily. You say, that's quite a bit. I say, yes. Maybe hourly. Because we are sinning. We're busy sinning all the time, aren't we? And daily the throne of grace is open. Hourly the throne of grace is open. Cleansing is God's work of grace. It follows true confession. And God offers it freely to each one of us. Now there's one more word. We've looked at confession. We've looked at forgiveness, we've looked at cleansing, and really we could spend more time in each one of them. But there's one more word we can't omit, and that's the word fellowship. Fellowship. This text, verse 9, does not have the word fellowship in it. But if you read the chapter, it's about fellowship, isn't it? Particularly verses 3, 4, 5, Verse 5 and 6. Verse 6, if we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. Fellowship. Confession of sins, forgiveness of sins, cleansing from sin, these lead to fellowship. Remember, I used the example just not long ago now, a few minutes ago, how when I was a child and was disobedient to my father, what happened? Well, when he came home from work, I was nowhere to be found. Right? I was out that way or that way, but I wasn't home because I was afraid he was going to punish me for sin. Was it his fault that our relationship was strained? No, it wasn't, was it? My father actually was a very loving father. He didn't abuse his authority, but he did punish me, and I was afraid for the punishment. But it was my sin that created that lack of fellowship between us, isn't it? And the same is true in our walk with God. If we say we have fellowship with him, but we are living in sin, we are lying and not practicing the truth. Fellowship. Fellowship, the steps toward fellowship, the pathway toward fellowship with God starts with confession and forgiveness. And that's why we need to discuss it, because it's part of this whole chapter. Verse 9 is just one piece of the whole. Fellowship means a clean conscience before God, living free from guilt of sin, keeping on living at peace with God, a right relationship to him. That's what fellowship is. Fellowship with God. Walking in the light. Are you walking in the light right now with God? Can God see everything in your life? Are you by faith trusting him to look into every crack, every corner? As I say in our church, look at what's on your cell phone, what pictures are there. Look at your hard drive and see where the history of the browser is. Are you walking in the light? Your browser history, the people you've talked to, your conversations. If God has a video camera and he's capturing every move, are you walking in the light, or are there things we're not at fellowship with him? You see, right away, it's a test, isn't it? It's showing us that we have to step back. We got to go back. Confession has to happen. And then forgiveness. And then cleansing. Because that's the only way we're going to be able to walk in the light with God at fellowship with him. Fellowship means walking in the Spirit, walking with God in the light. And true fellowship with God means fellowship with others. If anyone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And that's what's another key word in the book of John, isn't it? Fellowship. You see, if God is fellowshipping with us through forgiveness, then that gives us the answer that the professor at the Nelson Mandela lectures didn't have. Isn't it? How are we going to have fellowship with each other? It starts with fellowship with God, doesn't it? For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you your trespasses. Fellowship with God always leads to fellowship with others. And if we don't have that, And who can say they're perfect, right? Who of us can put our hands into the bosom and pull it out clean? We have confession to do. To each other, but even more to God. So, do you believe in forgiveness of sin? I believe. I'm trying to believe. And I'm trying to live out that belief every day. Let's pray together. Father, we want to believe more and more in the forgiveness of sins, your forgiveness at the expense of Christ. We want to believe this truth so we will live this truth. We want to come to you without fear, trusting in your Son who will never turn us away. We want to open up everything in our lives to him, Father, to you, your all-searching eye who knows the motivations in our hearts, who discerns our thoughts and intentions. Lord, we dare not hide anything from you because we know you know our thoughts afar off. So we come to you now in our hearts, confessing our sins and praying that you will make this confession real, that you will work it by your Spirit so that forgiveness will extend to every crack and corner of our lives. Lord, we are called to be leaders in your church, to be ministry workers, many of us, most of us probably. But how can we do so if our hands are still dirty? Please, Father, forgive us. And wash us clean again and again and again in your blood. Make us white as snow in your sight. Make us at fellowship, perfect fellowship with you and with our brothers. Lord, this is our desire. And we anticipate the day when we will sin no more and be at perfect fellowship with you and others in heaven. But until then, Lord, please continue this process in our lives, we pray. In the name of Christ Jesus, our Savior. Amen. Sin. But God is not like an angry father. And that brings us to what is forgiveness. God is not like an angry father. He forgives. And believing, trusting in this God who forgives, gives us the courage and the ability to confess. They say sometimes, what comes first, repentance or faith? Well, it comes together, doesn't it? God gives us faith to trust in him, and then we have the courage to truly repent before him and humble ourselves in his presence. So are you confessing your sin with faith? You know, perhaps you're saying, I'm glad he's preaching on this one. She needs to hear it. Or he over there, that one, no. You. What about you? What about me? Are we confessing our sins? If we confess our sins, also those who are no believers, God is speaking this to them. God is speaking to everyone here, isn't it? Everyone. If you're a sinner, God forgives. What is forgiveness? What is forgiveness? The Greek word means something, the idea of leaving behind or canceling a debt. There's actually several nuances in the Greek. Forgiveness. Let me just make a few statements about forgiveness as it's presented to us in Scripture. There's much that could be said here. Forgiveness, I think, first statement. Forgiveness happens after confession. You see how the text goes. If we confess our sins, verse 9, then he is faithful and just to forgive. It's not because of our confession. Our confession is not this good work that obligates God to forgive us. The confession is just expressing faith that he will forgive us. But it happens when we've confessed, doesn't it? When we are confessing, God forgives. And then the second truth I want to state, forgiveness results from the character of God. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. He is faithful. Faithful to a promise. God has promised, I will forgive. And God is faithful. Every single time. You know, we were just talking in class. It's not fair that God chose some and damned others. Right? I mean, that's a hard doctrine, isn't it? Very hard doctrine. But God is always faithful to everyone who comes to him in confession. Always, all the time, God is faithful to forgive. Anyone, everyone, regardless of who they are, if they confess, God will forgive. He is faithful. But he's also just. And that points us to where? It points us to Christ, doesn't it? How can God be fair? You know, the question is always, God is not fair to damn those people and save others. But really, the other way around, isn't it? Is God fair to save anyone if he said he is a just judge who punishes sin? But God is just in his forgiveness because of Christ's work. Christ, the one in whom we have forgiveness. The blood of Christ, verse 7, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Forgiveness means to put away the sin. And through Christ, he puts away our sin, doesn't he? It says later, Christ is our propitiation for sin. That means covering. That's what that word is meaning there. It's actually much more than that. Christ is our advocate. Not only does his blood cover our sin, but he also represents us before the judge and says, this one, I have taken the sin of that one. All those sins that we were just thinking in our minds, Christ offers freely to take them away, even now. Take away the guilt and the stain and the punishment of them. Christ takes them away, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And so God is just in Christ to forgive sin. And this forgiveness takes the sin away. It doesn't take it away entirely. It takes it away from us, but it puts it on Christ, doesn't it? Our sin on Christ. He pays for our sin. So we can say, blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord counts no iniquity, in whose spirit there is no deceit. Many Christians struggle with their past. They remember the mistakes they made before. And maybe you do too. You think back and you say, and you kick yourself. If only I hadn't said that. If only I hadn't gone there. If only I hadn't done that. And we whip ourselves, don't we? Like Martin Luther. I'm going to beat that sin out of me. And we whip ourselves in our minds. We hate ourselves even for what we do. Maybe it's not the long past. Maybe it's the nearby past. A few days ago, you fell into that favorite sin again. Again, you fell into it, and your hands are all dirty from it. And you say, why? I hate myself for it. If we stay with ourselves, if we stop right there, we don't believe in the forgiveness of sins, do we? Or at least we're not acting as if we do. Because Jesus takes those sins away. He takes away the guilt. He takes away the shame even, not right away sometimes. He takes away those sins. His blood covers them. I believe in God's forgiveness. It frees us, doesn't it? It gives us liberty, but we're going to come there. So forgiveness is, it happens after confession. It's because of God's character, his promise, and his fulfillment of promise in Christ Jesus, the one who puts away our sins. Forgiveness is necessary for everyone. He who believes in the Son of God has eternal life. But he who disobeys, he who does not obey the Son, the wrath of God abides on him. Whose fault is it? Jesus says, I'll forgive you. I'll forgive you freely. I'll take it all away. Even that guilt of the conscience that's bothering you. Forgiveness is necessary for everyone. Do you believe in the forgiveness of sins? When we sin, because we do have sin, and we quickly hide it, we quickly cover it, we quickly make excuses, we are showing to ourselves at least that we do not believe this truth. But if we sin, and immediately we go to God and say, God, I'm a sinner. Save me from this mess I've made. We are showing by our actions, by our words, that we believe in the forgiveness of sins. So what is God calling us to do? That favorite sin, right now in our hearts, in our minds, confess it. Confess it to God. Say, God, I'm a sinner. I'm guilty. I don't want to hide this from you anymore. I don't want to pretend as if something's not wrong in this area of my life. I confess it. Other people, maybe they've wronged me. Maybe it's their fault too. And maybe I'm only partly, but I know I'm a sinner. I confess it. And God is faithful and just to forgive us in Christ Jesus. And to take away even the guilt of it, the feeling of guilt. In fact, that's what it says in the last part of the verse. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. It's glorious truth. It's wonderful. But it doesn't stop there, does it? It goes on. What does it say? And to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God doesn't do a half work, does he? He takes away that guilt. He forgives us. He covers it with his blood. He doesn't see it anymore. He forgets it. God, who knows all things, forgets my sin in Christ. But he doesn't stop there. He's busy cleaning now. He's busy cleaning. He cleanses us. I do need those. He's busy cleaning us from all our sins, right? Maybe you've been addicted to a certain sin for a long time. It's a habit that you can't break anymore. And maybe right now, even just a minute ago, you confessed it in your mind to God, "Oh, God, I hate that sin. Take it away." Do you think it's going to stop? Not if it's up to us. Right? We'll be busy with it again tonight or tomorrow or whenever it comes. But God, he doesn't do a half work. He's also faithful and just to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, to carry on this process of sanctification. We know the terms, right? Not just justification, taking away the guilt, being at peace with God in his sight. Sanctification continues. He cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Some of the theologians actually debate. Calvin said that verse 7 is about cleansing the first time, the blood of Jesus, and then verse 9 is about sanctification. We can debate this, but the truth remains. God is doing the cleansing, isn't he? He's doing the cleaning in our lives. He's cleaning us. He's cleaning us from the sin the first time, taking away that guilty conscience. He's continuing to clean us when we fall into it again, renewing us, reforming us, molding and shaping us into the image of his Son. Have you been cleansed from your sin? God doesn't do a half work. Are you hindering the second half? The Spirit is doing the cleaning. The triune God working through the Spirit, particularly the Holy Spirit, the one who makes us holy, he's doing the cleaning. Here's a question, though. Will God keep cleaning when I keep sinning? Yes, he does. God is faithful and just. My sin doesn't change his character. But is the cleaning hindered when we stop confessing? Yes, it is. You see, when we stop confessing, when we start to excuse them in our minds or pretend they're not there or overlook it or find a way just to kind of get around it, God's going to say, no, wait, there's something here that needs to be confessed. I can smell it, right? Or however you want to picture it. It needs cleaning. You have to confess. And so, yes, God does keep cleaning when I keep sinning, if I keep confessing. But if we're hiding sin in our hearts, God will not bless us. The Proverbs say the same. The blood of Jesus Christ is able to cleanse from all sin. But the Holy Spirit doesn't usually apply the blood when there is no confession. Sometimes he still works against our will, even in this process. But unconfessed sins are like deep stains in a clothing. Deep stains that have been there for a long time. And sometimes it takes years. Sometimes they're not cleaned until we're dead. Sometimes it's going to take resurrection before we're totally cleaned. Are you being cleaned daily? Daily do you go to God for cleansing? Daily. You say, that's quite a bit. I say, yes. Maybe hourly. Because we are sinning. We're busy sinning all the time, aren't we? And daily the throne of grace is open. Hourly the throne of grace is open. Cleansing is God's work of grace. It follows true confession. And God offers it freely to each one of us. Now there's one more word. We've looked at confession. We've looked at forgiveness, we've looked at cleansing, and really we could spend more time in each one of them. But there's one more word we can't omit, and that's the word fellowship. Fellowship. This text, verse 9, does not have the word fellowship in it. But if you read the chapter, it's about fellowship, isn't it? Particularly verses 3, 4, 5, verse 5 and 6. Verse 6, if we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. Fellowship. Confession of sins, forgiveness of sins, cleansing from sin, these lead to fellowship. Remember, I used the example just not long ago now, a few minutes ago, how when I was a child and was disobedient to my father, what happened? Well, when he came home from work, I was nowhere to be found. Right? I was out that way or that way, but I wasn't home because I was afraid he was going to punish me for sin. Was it his fault that our relationship was strained? No, it wasn't, was it? My father actually was a very loving father. He didn't abuse his authority, but he did punish me, and I was afraid for the punishment. But it was my sin that created that lack of fellowship between us, isn't it? And the same is true in our walk with God. If we say we have fellowship with him, but we are living in sin, we are lying and not practicing the truth. Fellowship. Fellowship, the steps toward fellowship, the pathway toward fellowship with God starts with confession and forgiveness. And that's why we need to discuss it, because it's part of this whole chapter. Verse 9 is just one piece of the whole. Fellowship means a clean conscience before God, living free from guilt of sin, keeping on living at peace with God, a right relationship to him. That's what fellowship is. Fellowship with God. Walking in the light. Are you walking in the light right now with God? Can God see everything in your life? Are you by faith trusting him to look into every crack, every corner? As I say in our church, look at what's on your cell phone, what pictures are there. Look at your hard drive and see where the history of the browser is. Are you walking in the light? Your browser history, the people you've talked to, your conversations. If God has a video camera and he's capturing every move, are you walking in the light, or are there things we're not at fellowship with him? You see, right away, it's a test, isn't it? It's showing us that we have to step back. We got to go back. Confession has to happen. And then forgiveness. And then cleansing, because that's the only way we're going to be able to walk in the light with God, at fellowship with him. Fellowship means walking in the Spirit, walking with God in the light. And true fellowship with God means fellowship with others. If anyone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And that's what's another key word in the book of John, isn't it? Fellowship. You see, if God is fellowshipping with us through forgiveness, then that gives us the answer that the professor at the Nelson Mandela lectures didn't have. Isn't it? How are we going to have fellowship with each other? It starts with fellowship with God, doesn't it? For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you your trespasses. Fellowship with God always leads to fellowship with others. And if we don't have that, And who can say they're perfect, right? Who of us can put our hands into the bosom and pull it out clean? We have confession to do. To each other, but even more to God. So, do you believe in forgiveness of sin? I believe. I'm trying to believe. And I'm trying to live out that belief every day. Let's pray together. Father, we want to believe more and more in the forgiveness of sins, your forgiveness at the expense of Christ. We want to believe this truth so we will live this truth. We want to come to you without fear, trusting in your Son who will never turn us away. We want to open up everything in our lives to him, Father, to you, your all-searching eye who knows the motivations in our hearts, who discerns our thoughts and intentions. Lord, we dare not hide anything from you because we know you know our thoughts afar off. So we come to you now in our hearts, confessing our sins and praying that you will make this confession real, that you will work it by your Spirit so that forgiveness will extend to every crack and corner of our lives. Lord, we are called to be leaders in your church, to be ministry workers, many of us, most of us probably. But how can we do so if our hands are still dirty? Please, Father, forgive us. And wash us clean again and again and again in your blood. Make us white as snow in your sight. Make us at fellowship, perfect fellowship with you and with our brothers. Lord, this is our desire. And we anticipate the day when we will sin no more and be at perfect fellowship with you and others in heaven. But until then, Lord, please continue this process in our lives, we pray. In the name of Christ Jesus, our Savior. Amen. We want to believe this truth so we will live this truth. We want to come to you without fear, trusting in your Son who will never turn us away. We want to open up everything in our lives to him, Father. To you, your all-searching eye, who knows the motivations in our hearts, who discerns our thoughts and intentions. Lord, we dare not hide anything from you because we know you know our thoughts afar off. So we come to you now in our hearts, confessing our sins and praying that you will make this confession real, that you will work it by your Spirit so that forgiveness will extend to every crack and corner of our lives. Lord, we are called to be leaders in your church, to be ministry workers, many of us, most of us probably. But how can we do so if our hands are still dirty? Please, Father, forgive us. And wash us clean again and again and again in your blood. Make us white as snow in your sight. Make us at fellowship, perfect fellowship with you and with our brothers. Lord, this is our desire. And we anticipate the day when we will sin no more and be at perfect fellowship with you and others in heaven. But until then, Lord, please continue this process in our lives, we pray. In the name of Christ Jesus, our Savior. Amen.